Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Pregnant ladies and little kids better get the hell out of the way, because I am running. I'm like Forrest Gump, dude. I am running. So the Titanic was the biggest ship on the ocean, but that didn't mean it was unsinkable.
Okay. I want you each to use ombudsman in a sentence next week.
I got one for you. My name is Kevin, the official ombudsman of the Just Let's Play podcast. You like apples?
All right, welcome back into another edition of Just Press Play Pod. We are joined. We got LJ. Took a week off, you know, had some things to go, but he's back fully rested.
Back.
What's going on, guys?
Oh man,
not much. Back
too
and
much.
Better than ever, right?
as the great Mike Greenberg would say, back and better than ever. All right, we are through week three of the NFL. We're gonna get into some NFL stuff, but. And you'll want to stick around for that, because there's a way, if you just listen to what we have to say, especially with LJ, I don't know if you guys remember, pretty much called the whole Steelers 0-3 not making the playoffs. But, well, that's neither here nor there. We'll let LJ get his Big Ben dig in. But if you listen in a little bit later, we're going to talk NFL, and that's going to be how you can win some big money.
Big money.
And that's why I want to tell you about some of our friends over at MyBookie. So, Pops, we talked about this before. I asked you $100. If you just found $50 in the street after we get done recording, if you were walking outside and $50 is sitting on your porch, what are you going to do with it?
Well, if I find a quarter, I'm going to pick it up. So, I find money. I mean, a penny, I might pass by, maybe. But
Of course you're going to take the money.
Yes.
So, my question is, why? And this is for our listeners out there, just kind of a rhetorical question. Why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? That's why. You got to go to MyBookie. That's why we go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. Let's face it, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on.
Guys, there's money on your porch right now. There's money on your porch.
there's probably a $50 bill sitting on your porch. You just got to know the promo code. That's all.
Exactly.
That's right. That's right.
Look, I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with MyBookie if they weren't the best. And right now, MyBookie is offering our listeners a special offer. If you join, they will double your first deposit. All you have to do is use the promo code CHAIR to activate that offer. So you get on there and you put your first deposit in for $100. They're going to double that. That's that $100 you just found sitting on your porch.
Yep.
They are going to double for you. All you got to do is join MyBookie. That's MyBookie.ag today and put their promo code CHAIR, CHAIR, and get a double on your deposit. And MyBookie has a bunch of cool things you can do. We've talked about it before, but they have the normal thing. You know, you can bet the spread or bet the line or bet the over-unders or the money line, whatever it is. Or you can even go, if your bet's not really working out at halftime of the noon games, you get back in there at halftime, do some live in-game betting. They have fantasy football stuff. And then it's not just football. They got it all. We can bet on, and this is something we want to talk about. We probably would have lost, but you could have bet on the Emmys.
Yep.
And probably would have lost. That's where we want. So MyBookie. Promo code CHAIR, get that offer, double your deposit. But speaking of Emmys, let's get into it, L. We've talked a lot about it on this pod, in previous pods, a while back. Game of Thrones, final season.
Yep.
I think the jury's still on whether that was good or not, but the Emmys is saying that is, tell me if I'm right,
yep,
L, the best drama.
That's what the Emmys
the
say
year.
Is season 8 of Game of Thrones is the best drama to come out in the last year. Do you want to hear nominees that it was up against?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so.
Put them out.
In alphabetical order, we've got Better Call Saul, great show. Bodyguard.
I enjoyed it. I'm not surprised it didn't win, but I did like
Game
it.
Of Thrones, Killing Eve, a little show I don't know if Dad's heard of it, Ozark, Pose, Succession, and This Is Us. Those were the nominees.
Okay, well, so Ozark, obviously I did like it. I think I saw Bateman won something.
He won director, best male. Director in a drama.
Ah, Okay.
Okay.
So Dad, I know your show did get some love. I know you're a big Ozark guy, but out of those, one of those that you mentioned I really want to see that I haven't really paid attention to,
yeah.
Succession. I've heard a lot of good things about
Succession. I've seen three episodes of it, and it is phenomenal. It is really good television.
Well, it just seems like a show I would like. So that's on my list of things I need to get on.
You must need to get to three for me, because I got to like two, and I just got in something else. I want to watch, because I've heard a lot of good stuff.
If I remember correctly, because we watched it, it hadn't fully come out yet, and we thought that it was like going to be just a really limited series. But it was, if I remember correctly, pretty dry and pretty like, in the same way that like The Wire is, like, you got to really like pay full attention.
You have to set up the characters. I think, you know, there was a lot of that.
Right.
It sounds like it's not one of those shows that you're sitting with your phone in your hand and you're kind of either playing your game or on Twitter or Facebook or whatever. You kind of need to pay attention. But so back to the Emmys though, I don't pay it crazy attention to the Emmys, but it's, if Game of Thrones won, we've talked about it. I understand Game of Thrones winning some awards, like if they won awards for like how amazing those special effects were, because some of that stuff that you visually, that was amazing what they were able to do. But just as far as best drama, it sounds like they won just off of popularity contest, right?
So I hear that there's like a tendency for these award shows to give series that have had a good run the victory for that year at the finale.
Yeah, is this like a culmination award?
Right, Lord of the Rings never won Best Picture until the last Lord of the Rings, and in a sense, they kind of got Best Picture because of all three of them instead of just the one being the Best Picture out of that year. And I think it's something kind of like that, but it is disappointing because it's like I mean, I've seen Better Call Saul and Ozark, and I think both of those are definitely better than Game of Thrones. Succession's on that list are better than Game of Thrones' final season. Like, it'd be different if Game of Thrones' fourth season was up for the award. Right.
Agreed. Some of those seasons that were incredible.
But this season alone, if that's what we're supposed to be judging it on, Game of Thrones isn't even close. And I would say Game of Thrones as a series this season has marred it so much for me that it doesn't even, you know, make that list for me. So,
yeah. It does seem like it was, but then again, who votes on these things? Do we have any idea who votes
on them? They're usually critics, I think. I can find out real quick if you guys want to stammer along while I search.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I'll stammer this out. My favorite series, and I know I talked to Kevin about it, that damn Peaky Blinders is rocking my world.
I think the newest season just got dropped Tuesday. I think the newest season got dropped on Tuesday.
I need to watch more of it.
But it's really good. It's worth watching. I'm kind of stuck on. I'm almost done with the season two of Mindhunter, and I think
I gotta finish Succession. That, yeah,
I think Succession's my next show I'm starting up probably. But it looks like the Television Academy votes on it.
Yeah, so it looks like it's basically there's 24,000 members in the Television Academy. It's basically if you are a professional in the television industry, you are eligible to be in the Academy and potentially be a voter too. So there are, just thousands of voters. So it is like, it's basically anybody working in television can make that vote.
So, and I don't know. I just thought it was interesting that Game of Thrones won best. If they would have got like best, I don't know. It just seems like it's more of a total award for the full.
Well, that's what, like, if they said like Game of Thrones versus all that had come out so far of Ozark, then that would be a little bit different of a conversation. But then that's also like just a different, because Ozark's not done yet. You know, it's they need to have like either a legacy award saying like your series was so good overall.
Legacy's the word, yes, I was looking for. Yes,
but
agreed.
But if they're just saying like you had the best drama this year, they are wrong. They're just wrong.
Agreed.
Was there any other notable awards that you noticed, LJ?
Oh, I mean, just kind of running down. Yeah, you mentioned Patrick Bateman winning Best Director. I thought that was great. Jason Bateman. Patrick Bateman, is that American Psycho?
I don't even know who that is.
I think that's American Psycho. It's a serial killer in a movie, I think. Let's see. Julia Garner, Best Supporting Actress for Ozark.
Ozark did pretty well.
Peter Dinklage, supporting actor in a drama. I mean, you know, there are a lot of people that I think definitely deserve.
Wait. Julia Garner in Ozark?
Yeah.
The wife is like Laura Lee or something.
Laura Linney.
What's Laura Linney? Who is Jennifer Garner in that?
Julia Garner, and she is the blonde-haired, curly-haired.
Is that her name? Yeah. There's another person named Jennifer Garner, isn't there?
This is Julia Garner. No, you're crazy. You're not crazy. This is Julia and not Jennifer.
You're thinking, okay, Dad, you're thinking of the Capital One commercial.
Yeah.
Yes.
who, by the way, she's one of those, I think she's one of those actresses, if I told you to guess the age by looking at her, you would never guess it, because she has not aged a bit since I've been, like, born.
No. Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there.
Outstanding. No, but Julia, what's her name, is really good.
Yeah, she's phenomenal.
So she may be the best actress or the best actor in there.
Yeah, and I love Jason Bateman. And she's over him, I think.
I do, too.
In my mind in that, so... outstanding television movie, Black Mirror Bandersnatch. I don't know if you guys watched that, but that's the Choose Your Own Adventure TV show that came out on Netflix about 8 months ago or so. It was really cool.
I've heard of it, and it seems interesting.
It's really cool. I mean, give it a watch, because it's a new way to watch something. Like, it's pretty cool. You make choices as you go, and so that's kind of neat that they won an award for that. Didn't
Dark Mirror do something similar in one of their episodes where
Black
you
Mirror,
kind of like
that is.
Choose the ending? Yeah, Black Mirror, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about. It's Black Mirror's Bandersnatch. Okay, yeah. When you listen to this episode,
what
you'll
happens
hear me
when I was
say Black Mirror's Bandersnatch won an award.
Well, I was trying to do some research on the fly about your American Psycho character, Patrick Bateman. And
is that so who
I
it is?
Didn't listen to the first little bit. Yeah, you're right. You were correct.
Nice.
So, he is a that. So there is a Patrick Bateman then. Yes.
Yes.
Well,
he's
not
the
really.
Character
yeah.
off of American Psycho.
Okay.
In the movie, they eat at a restaurant called Texarkana. Just throwing that out there.
Really?
That small world.
Yeah, I know.
I saw another one that won big, and it was interesting. I saw Fleabag won
best comedy
something, and that is a little interesting to me, because isn't Fleabag season just like five or six episodes, and they're all like 20 to 30 minutes. They're just short. Is that the same as like an episode, a season that's got 12 hour long episodes? No, there's more content. Should that be voted at all? Or
I think that they should be held on the exact same plane as they seem to be, because I think one thing that I think about is, can you tell your story in, like, if you do, say 24 half hour episodes versus somebody that does 5 half hour episodes, and one leaves more impact, then, you know, if the short one leaves more impact, then that definitely should deserve more points than somebody that had less impact over the course of 12 hours of your life. So, yeah, I would argue that that should definitely be held on the same standard.
Okay. Yeah. I found that interesting, but I do kind of get what you're saying. Like, if you can hit me with the same amount of impact in 6 30-minute episodes that something else took 12 hour long episodes.
But it's like a college professor where they say, like, you know, there's no word count. So, you know, if you can do it in under 2 pages, then you better do it in under 2 pages. And so, yeah.
Yeah.
Which they beat, by the way, 3 shows that I really like, Barry, The Good Place, and Veep, for that Emmy. So that makes it worth checking out.
You know, I've watched some Barry. I like Barry.
Yeah.
The Good Place.
Bill Hader can do anything for
Bill, me. Bill Hader is, yeah. I want to say, I've heard Bill Hader with, Bill Simmons, I think. They did a movie review. They did No Country for Old Men, which, amazing movie.
Yeah.
Amazing movie. But Bill Hader just talking on a podcast, he is so monotone that by the end of the podcast, you're just, it's driving you crazy.
Yeah.
But then again, he's such a great actor. I really like Hader.
When I thought Barry was cool because it was just a different thing. You know, like, he's seen as the funny guy. And then he was like, he's still funny in it, but it was just a different role. And I thought it was cool.
He's almost the straight man in that show. Everybody else around him is goofball crazy in a weird way. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. 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 It's a good show.
So that's an interesting one. It's worth checking out. But I was wondering how the Emmy bump happens. Like, so like Fleabag, a show that I bet a lot of people maybe not have seen. And now like people like us three are like, I probably need to tune in that. I need to check that out. Or maybe someone saying, like, you're talking about Good Place or Veep or any of these.
Oh, it definitely happens. If you get nominated, I think, like, that's one of the things about these is, like, if you get nominated, it means you're probably worth checking out. And so a lot of, like, at least big TV people are going to want to watch all of the nominees in their favorite category or whatever, whether they've heard of them or not. So it definitely is going to help out getting viewership up for any of these shows.
Let's move on to wrapping up week 3 of the NFL season. It seemed like this was kind of the week of the replacement quarterbacks, or at least the old quarterbacks going down and seeing some new faces. But before we get into that and before we get into Danny Dimes and all the new kids on the block, I wanted to talk. We got 8 undefeated teams left in NFL.
Okay.
Some of them are your usual suspects. You got the Patriots, Chiefs. I think a lot of people thought that. Rams, not too surprising. The Cowboys, I think if you look at their schedule, it's not that surprising, but we'll get into that. Packers, 49ers, and then the last two are a little more, 49ers are interesting, but the Bills are undefeated, and the Lions, there's been a lot of talk about Matt Patricia being a bad coach, and I still think the jury's out on that, but They are 2-0-1, so they're undefeated. But just as far as undefeated teams, I kind of wanted to ask you guys, it seems to me there's tiers when it comes to this, and I think there's a clear top tier. And I wanted to ask you guys, I'll start with you, L. Where does the line kind of get drawn on the top tier?
Well, okay, so that's a good question. And I think, like, for me, the line gets drawn, you know, on the teams that I expected to be there. And those are the ones that I feel like are still clear and above better football teams. The Patriots are, they look like the best team in football, period. And then the Chiefs and the Rams are teams that we've seen play this well and overcome any sort of weakness they have late in the season. They're just good football teams all around. So I feel like that's the top tier for me. Everybody else is next tier. That's my thought.
Yeah. Yeah, Dad, what do you think? I mean, the Patriots look like, regardless of that, they've shed the AB stuff and they got out of that. And I don't know if we want to dive it. We've done so much Antonio Brown talk. I think let's just move on. But regardless of that, the Patriots look like they may still be really, really good. Some quick stats that's been thrown out after the weekend. The defense for the Patriots, I know they gave up some, the team gave up some touchdowns off like a muff punt, a pick six, but the defense has still not allowed a touchdown through three weeks, which I think I read somewhere it's the first time that's happened in like 40 years. That guy that plays quarterback, I forget his name. He still looks like he's a pretty good quarterback.
He seems to be.
And then I saw, so their average margin of victory right now is 29.7 points per game. And Sunday, New England allowed just 105 yards, which is the fewest allowed by a Patriots defense.
Wow.
1988, which would be a decade before Belichick even got
there. Wow.
So, really, maybe the best defense in the NFL, and still that guy, the GOAT back there taking snaps. Dad, is the Patriots clearing away the favorites right now?
Clearing away. You're talking about defense, and I had this written down, so I got to say it. Total yards per game they've given up over three games, 199.
Whoa!
Total passing yards, 162. Wait for this. Rushing yards, total rushing yards.
Per game.
37.
Wow.
37 yards.
I mean, they look good. They look good on the back end, the front end, the middle. I mean, they're good at all levels.
Well, and look, Gordon caught that great. I think Jordan's going to flourish.
He looks like he's
got
going
his
to,
head
yeah.
right. He, you know, AB's gone.
Yeah.
I think he can really flourish.
Yeah.
Wow. I think they can be great.
Yeah. I agree. Hate to see it.
I did think, now we still, I think the defense still has, we'll get to see him play some other. We haven't seen a lot of good quarterback play against the Patriots.
Very true.
So far.
You're
watched
right.
play the
You're
Dolphins.
Right. That's fair.
We watched them play the Jets, who are on their, third? Is Falk their third string quarterback? And then, now week one, they did play probably a future Hall of Famer, but if you ask one of the people on this pod, it was Big Ben. So I think and plus, Mike Tomlin and Big Ben just have no idea what to do with the Patriots. I think that's clear. So Patriots look really good. I do think, Dad, do you agree with LJ? It's kind of, I think I disagree. I think he's right with the Patriots and Chiefs. I'm leaving the Rams off that. I don't think they're in that tier. What about you, Pops?
Yeah, me too. And I don't know if this is Homer, but I'm throwing the Cowboys in that tier.
You're throwing the Cowboys in the top tier.
In the top tier? Yes, okay. I am. They have played exceptionally well. Their defense has given up some yards and some points, but they've won decidedly. Now, they played the Dolphins this week.
Yeah, can I get some? You know, can I get this water and throw it on real quick? Because they have played three teams that have a combined 1-8 record.
They're fixing to get the New Orleans Saints without Drew Brees. I mean,
yeah. They played the Eli Manning-led Giants, the Redskins, and the Dolphins. So,
whatever. Dad, I do agree. They look really good. It's my opinion. I'm throwing Dallas in that top rung. So it's Patriots,
okay.
Kansas City,
okay.
in the top rung.
I think Sunday we'll get to see a lot more on Dallas Sunday night. They'll take on, I know it's the breezeless Saints, but it's still the Saints. It's a good team.
Were they going to
so I'm
Taysom Hill? Yeah. It'll be rough.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what the Cowboys do. I think it'll be their first real test. I thought it was smart of them. It didn't look great against the Dolphins, but you're really, I don't think you want to, you don't want to show anything against the Dolphins. And you just want to get out of there with the win. And they got out of there with the 31-6 win.
Yeah.
I mean, a win's a win. And that's not a bad one at all.
They covered the spread, if you'll recall.
True. When it comes to the Chiefs, has Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, I know LJ, I won't throw out the term that you hate, but has Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs become must-watch TV? Because, I mean, the things that he does on the football field.
It's wild.
It's
wild.
Crazy.
It truly is. I have nothing else to add to that. He's just an unbelievable player, for sure.
It kind of reminds me of when I've heard Dad talk about Michael Jordan back in the day. And I don't want to call him like the best football player ever or anything like Dad would say about Michael Jordan in basketball, but just to the extent that when Dad said that when Michael Jordan was on national TV, you stopped, like you made plans to make sure you were watching it. especially back in the day, there wasn't, you know, Wednesday night ESPN game, Thursday night, you know, there wasn't as much national TV basketball games. But I think it works out where, to me, I'm trying to figure out when does Mahomes play, and I don't even care if it's against the Raiders. I don't care who he's playing against. I'm trying to make sure I'm watching that one, because literally any play, if the defense has any bit of a blown coverage, he's going to put the ball on a dime, whether it's off his back foot or wherever it's at. And then I guess it doesn't matter who's playing around him as long as 15's back there at quarterback, because Tyreek Hill went out and
don't even miss
they
it.
They just were like, all right, DeMarcus Robinson, you get in there. Mecole Hardman, we didn't even put you in the first game. You get in there. And now those guys are just catching bombs.
Yep. Well, I think
now they scare. Now Kelsey is a badass. Yeah. I will tell you, he has a hell of a talent.
And he hasn't seemed like he hasn't done much.
No,
yet.
Yeah, as he hasn't done as much as like Watkins, and then there have been some players that have shown. But that's kind of the thing with the Chiefs is they generally have, it seems like, two players from somewhere else, because you have to double cover Kelsey, and so two players right, are going to just go crazy because you're letting them go. And since Tyreek Hill's out, they can do spare a little bit more coverage, but it's still, you're going to leave somebody open on that sideline, and old Patty's going to find him, it looks like.
Well, and they're going to get, I mean, the offense looks great now, and they're going to get Tyreek Hill back at some point, who we've talked about is one of those guys where you almost have to have someone over the top of him. So now if you have two guys on him, two guys on Kelsey, that's just going to be even more yep. room for Robinson and Hardman and LeSean McCoy. I still think he does look a little bit old and long in tooth, but he still looks shifty. Yeah. And then Damian Williams, he was out last week. That offense looks scary. They do scare me a little, because that defense still gives up a lot of yards and don't really stop the run. I don't think much has changed from them last year, but I can see them scoring 30 points. If they can get home field advantage, I think what's going to happen with them is it's probably going to be Chiefs-Patriots for the AFC. And it kind of, to me, it goes, where's the game playing? Is it in Foxborough or is it in Arrowhead? And I think that will say a lot about who gets the W.
I think another good thing about the Chiefs in this season so far is they seem to be a pretty good metric of how good is the team you're playing. You know, like, the first 3 weeks are always tough to try to figure out how good somebody is, because we don't know what's changed in the offseason in a sense that's going to make a decent team awful or great, you know? But the Chiefs are, yeah. And so they've got a few interesting games coming up where we'll see, are the Lions for real? Are the Colts for real? And are the Texans okay? Before they get a bye week on Thursday against the Broncos. So,
well, and as much as that's going to ask, are those teams for real? That'll show if the Chiefs keep on doing what they're doing and rolling these teams against some good opponents, I think that'll say a lot about who the Chiefs are. Yeah. And maybe that'll show you they're right there with the Patriots. The other team, so LJ mentioned, tier, who I think I'm, it sounded like, well, my tier, I think it's Chiefs, Patriots. I think they're the top. Then I think there's another tier that are the Cowboys, Rams, maybe the Packers in that other tier.
Okay.
I wanted to mention the Rams, because LJ put them up there. I don't know if, and I know I've said this last year a couple of times, I don't know if Goff is that good.
Yeah.
Maybe they overpaid him. I don't know. And then Todd Gurley just doesn't look like Todd Gurley anymore. It's disappointing. I don't know what's the deal. Maybe they're kind of saving him. I don't know. But he just doesn't look like that same guy that was busting long runs and catching wheel routes and jumping over people and juking them out of their shoes.
Yeah, but when you got a Wade Phillips defense, you can take 6 weeks to figure out how you're going to get back in sync again, you know?
Well, and they are 3-0. And it's what we talked about. You are what your record says you are, and they're getting wins regardless, and that's with Gurley playing bad. If Gurley returns to MVP form like he was for much of the year last year, sky's limit. Now, with the Rams, I think old Jared Goff is happy to have his boy, Cooper Kupp. Oh, that yeah. guy no is doubt. So good. I don't think he's like one of the top receivers in the league, but I think he needs some recognition for really, really good, because he's open every time on third down.
Yeah.
And his run after the catch is good. He's one of those, and I think it's kind of we're probably getting this a little bit with old Daniel Jones too, but Cooper's one of those deceptively athletic, you know. I think his skin tone makes it look like he's not going to be as fast as he is, and then all of a sudden he's running down the sideline and he's gone. And then Woods is still really good. Brandon Cooks is still there.
Yep.
They got some talent on there.
They do.
I still stand by what I said last year. I think Dak Prescott is a better quarterback than Jared Goff. Jared Goff just has Sean McVay. And now Dak Prescott maybe has a coordinator that can help him out. He's not playing with his hand tied behind the back. We'll see.
Kevin, that argument this year doesn't sound so stupid. I will say that.
Yesterday or last year, it sounded crazy. It still might sound crazy, but at least it's not as crazy.
It's not as crazy. Yeah.
It's fair.
How good do we think the Packers are?
Question mark.
I have them in that next tier for sure.
Well, we're going to get to learn a lot about them on Thursday night. They're going to take on the Eagles, who are 1-2. I know the Eagles still have a lot of injuries. I think Alshon Jeffery should be back. But the Eagles back against the wall, and they're going to come in there. If the Packers beat them, it's just the same way I said about the Rams. They're It would be the Packers undefeated. And I was just throwing it out. It just, I think it's scary. And I think we've mentioned it last week, but Aaron Rodgers with a really good defense is scary.
And a stupid good offensive line, by the way. Have you guys noticed how much time he's got back there and how much holes open up for the running backs? Like, it's crazy how good that offensive line is.
Well, his next three games, Kevin.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to, you got Philadelphia. Then the next week is Dallas. I hope Dallas is as good as I think. And if they are,
that could be a big
test.
That'll
be a hell of a showdown.
Yeah.
And then Detroit, who is undefeated.
Yeah. So I think you learn a lot through week three, but we're going to start separating who's who coming up. Because like we talked about with Dallas, I do think they're good, but they have beat a combined 1-8. Then they got the Saints and Packers coming up. We'll see a lot about Dallas. We'll see a lot about the Packers. Yep. The reason I think I'm putting them in there is because the Packers are 3-0 and they've yet to score 30 points in a game. Aaron Rodgers has yet to throw for more than 235 yards in a game and has just 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So Aaron Rodgers played really compared to what
almost
you normally
carried.
Think of him.
Yeah.
He's played bad.
Yeah.
So if Aaron Rodgers turns back into the guy that we were once not that long ago saying is the most talented quarterback in the NFL, all bets are off. Who knows what's happening?
Yep.
A team I think that's right on the cusp. They're not. Let's talk real quick. Let's just run through. Are these last three, are they frauds or are they real? The 49ers, Bills, and Lions. LJ, what do you think? Are any of those three for real?
I mean, I like all three of them, honestly. I don't know if they're for real.
Like them as in a playoff team?
That's where it's tough because I do feel like two of the three have potential. I just don't know which two. You know what I mean? I feel like only one of these are deceivers, and I'm trying to figure out. I think it's the Lions, but it definitely could be the Bills. The Bills have a tougher conference or a division to break into. So I don't know. I feel like the 49ers are winning ugly games. I feel like the Bills aren't a fluke right now, you know.
Well, the same way I mentioned for the Cowboys, got to mention for the Bills. I mean, look at who they've played. I think they've played a combined a record of 1-8.
Have they really? Okay.
They have. Well, I think it was.
That might change my opinion. That might change my opinion. Fair enough.
What was it? The Giants, Jets, and then who did the Bills play this past week?
The Bengals. The Bengals who aren't bad, 0-3. But they're 0-3, and they're missing their lead receiver, Ross. You know, we all, like, for a second thought, maybe A.J. Green doesn't need to show up anymore, but he's not that guy, I don't think. So.
Boy, I didn't think that.
So I do. I think the Bills are going to have a fun game this week. I don't think I'm picking them to go in and beat the Patriots, but they're in Buffalo, they're hosting Tom Brady and the Patriots, 3-0 versus 3-0. That'll tell you a lot about the Bills if they play with them.
Yeah.
You know, if they keep up, maybe beat them. Who knows? Josh Allen's that guy. I don't know. I don't think he's great, but he's dangerous. Yeah. He's dangerous.
Yeah. Hard to quantify.
And then 49ers, I think the jury's still out, El. I agree with you. I think they could be. They won a game last week where they had 5 turnovers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's hard to do. That's hard to win a game. Yeah. True. And I think I kind of want to get into a little bit of that. But I think the Lions are better than I thought, but I think they'll end up about, like, I think at some point they're going to be who we thought they were, and they're going to be 6-6-1 or something.
Oh,
they're not bad.
I think we're all ready for that week where we can say, thank you, the Lions are exactly what I thought they were. Moving on. Now we can stop entertaining this. But I don't know. I mean, it's hard to tell because they have talent all over the field. Just, it feels like it's like the B team. You know, it's like they've got like the second best player in every position, you know, it's nobody's like an outstanding star.
They bring in these guys, and like Mostert will come in and juke someone out of his shoes, and then Breida will come in and make some defender look silly. Mm-hmm. And then they don't even have Tevin Coleman back right now.
True.
They're interesting. They're at least interesting. Dad, I felt like you had something you were going to say maybe about one of those three.
Well, I was looking at the schedule, and I think other than the Patriots, who I think have the easiest schedule coming up, by the way, Buffalo, which will be a test, Washington, the Giants, the Jets, Cleveland, Baltimore. Baltimore is going to be a test. Cleveland, we don't know.
Patriots likely going to that Baltimore game with one loss at the most.
But so the 49ers have Cleveland next. Now, Cleveland, I do think they're still pretty good, but they got work to do, no doubt. Then they have the Rams next, then Washington. Washington appears to be imploding. The Washington Redskins.
Can I throw out something about the Redskins real quick I saw today?
Yeah.
The best defensive performance they've had this year was giving up 71% completion rate to Carson Wentz. That's the best defense they've had all year. So if you are looking for a streaming quarterback to start, find out who's playing against Washington, because that's a start.
Who would you – Who would you rather be right now, LJ? The R words or the Dolphins? The Dolphins suck, but at least they have a plan.
Yeah, it seems like they're going somewhere. It seems like, well, and I never want to be Dan Snyder.
Washington.
So
Washington, I think Washington is trying to be good. They're just not. Like the Dolphins are actively trying to suck.
Yeah.
Washington's just
give
bad.
Me Miami.
They're just
give
bad.
Me Miami.
What do you think, Dad?
If you're Washington, I mean, why are we keeping Haskins out? Put Haskins in there. Let him play. Sure. Come on. Let's see what
From
you got.
From what I've heard, if they even decide to bench Keenum, it would be for McCoy, not even Haskins.
Wow.
I'm with you. Get him out there unless I just don't see the much help in putting him in bubble wrap unless you're worried like you're going to get him out there and get him killed because Trent Williams isn't out there and there's no reason to get him just smashed. We talked about injuries.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's not like the Redskins have had a problem with that. You know, it's not like they've had a quarterback that came in and got hurt and then they didn't know how to deal with it and he ended up playing catch with himself on the sidelines every practice and then getting thrown away. So, you know,
we talked a little bit about Danny Dimes earlier, and we can talk about whether we think Daniel Jones is, I mean, it looks like Giants fans, they hated him at the draft, which I'll say I was with them, but he looked good, real good last week.
Yeah.
Did some things that haven't been done in New York for a long time. We'll just start with that. Pops, what do you think? Are you drinking the Danny Jones Kool-Aid?
Well, I'm going to tell you what I think about Danny Jones. I thought he had a great, impressive first game. I still think the Giants took him too high. He would have been there at their next pick, I really think. Now, with all that said, if you think he's your franchise guy, take him.
Get him.
You know, I'm with you on that. So, am I impressed with him? Absolutely, because he's brought fire to the team. And I was listening to this podcast the other day. Sometimes using profanity actually does get people fired up and make them want to follow you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can go, let's effing score. You know, apparently he said.
Did you hear it? So it was like Sterling Shepard was like, he's like a real mild-mannered dude. And all of a sudden he was like, let's effing go. And no one's even heard him cuss before. So we were like, whoa.
But sometimes it does. It gets you fired up.
Oh, it lets
right?
you know that they're serious. Like, yeah, exactly. And he seems serious. He seems confident that they can win games. And that's something that Eli hasn't seemed ever in his career. He finds a way, but he's never seemed confident. Yeah, I think that
makes
sense.
You say
that
you're talking about a two-time Super Bowl champ. I mean, I understand the dichotomy, but
all Super Bowl game, both games, he looked like he was ready to just go home and hop in a jacuzzi. Like he wasn't really playing football. He just wins. Eli Manning isn't he's an enigma wrapped up in a, what was that, Kevin?
Conundrum. He's a conundrum wrapped up in enigma. Yeah. Or what was it? But I'll tell you what was serious about Daniel Jones, and that was his stat line. 336 yards, two passing touchdowns, zero picks, and then he added two scores on the ground, including that late one to win the game. It was funny. I was trying to decide, were we wrong pre-draft, but let's go back and look. In 36 starts at Duke, Jones never had a game as good as he had this past Sunday. He never had a game with 300 yards and no picks. He never had a game with 330 yards and two touchdowns, both in the air and on the ground.
And so he wasn't playing SEC defenses. Like, he wasn't.
Yeah. And I'm not saying the Bucs defense is great, but they're better than the ACC defenses. They're better than the ACC Ds. And he did this all. He outscored the Bucs 22-3 in the second half, all without who some people call the best running back in the NFL. Saquon Barkley didn't even play the whole second half.
Yep. That's right.
I mean, I'm still holding on to the Giants being a good team at the end of the year because now this is the storyline, right? I mean, Daniel Jones coming alive, carrying a team that doesn't even have their best player for potentially 6 to 8 weeks. And then dude walking back in and they become the best team in the NFC East. I mean, that seems possible all of a sudden. I mean, the Cowboys have got to implode a little bit, but.
I'm thinking happens with the Giants, and I'm hoping this isn't to the Cowboys, but one of these teams in the NFC, I think the Giants, they're going to end up like 6-10 or something, nothing crazy, but they're going to beat a team late in the year needs a playoff win.
Yeah.
And whether it be the Eagles or Cowboys, I don't know. I've seen it happen with the Cowboys more times than I want to talk about. But I just can see Daniel Jones with his, he's got the goofy Eli face.
Yeah.
He's going to roll in there, and Saquon Barkley is a good running back. They're going to win some games they have no business winning late. And it's going to knock some teams out. There was an interesting thing from Next Gen Stats. I talked about it with Cooper Kupp. Daniel Jones isn't a guy you probably think is super athletic, but Next Gen Stats said that Daniel Jones, in both touchdowns that he had on the ground, he reached at top speed 19.47 miles per hour and 19.51 miles per hour. That puts him with two of the fastest speeds reached by a quarterback this season.
Man, that's
only two of the top four, only behind Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray, who I think those guys are not deceptively athletic. Those guys are just athletic. So Jones, he's interesting. If nothing else, he's definitely got my eye. I'm watching him at least. But let's talk about the team he beat. Impressive win for Daniel Jones, but Bruce Arians and the Bucs, did they just blow that game? What were they doing at the end of that game?
Well, you heard him say, right? He backed up because you – and I've heard the argument that you do have a little better angle on it, a little further back.
Well, let me back you up, Dad, so just to lay what happened out. So Mike Evans, who had a great game.
Had an amazing game.
150 yards and three touchdowns. He caught a ball after Danny Dimes got the – what looked like the game-clinching touchdown on the ground. The Bucs went right back and threw the ball to Mike Evans, who got – I don't know why – the Giants weren't double teaming Evans. He's been
well because didn't Godwin get two big catches right before that though? So
true.
They were getting eat up in the air.
Evans gets one to the 9 yard line, and then the Bucs then they snapped it once to kill some clock. Then they took a delay game. Bruce Arians says on purpose, Dad. I guess.
How much time was left? How much time was left when they were on the 9 yard line? Roughly.
I think there was like 30 something seconds.
Well, why not they go decided, to the end zone one time? You don't trust because you don't trust Jameis. You don't trust Winston.
Well, and
right?
he throws picks like nobody's business.
Yeah, exactly.
That's maybe understandable. But then again, like we said, Mike Evans has been torching them all day. Why not throw up one or two to Mike Evans?
Because I think he had thrown two picks that game already, and he's probably thrown like 8 picks this year. Like, dude throws picks like they're just like a thing he wants to do on the weekend, you know? Well,
That had to be what it was. I'm telling you, Arian just didn't trust
him. So they took a snap to kill the clock. Then they took the delay game on purpose, backing them up 5 yards. Then they kneeled it again, backing them up 2 yards to the center of the field for Matt Gay. And then if you look back at that kick, so Bruce Arians, like you were saying, Dad, I think this is where you were going. He did say he won it on purpose, and he thought it was a better angle and that Matt Gay would be better from that spot as opposed to where he was at. And yes, I've heard that in college where you don't want to be that close because then they're kind of having like kick at a really tough
those
angle.
Those hashes are much further apart, in college football,
Right. They're way wider when it comes to college or NFL. I don't think that's near as big of an issue. And if you look back at that kick, it really looks like if they would have been, I don't know, 7 yards closer, so not the delay game to kneel, I think it would have went through the uprights.
Yeah.
That's hard to say, though, because kicking at that, like that, when we're talking like it could have, it wasn't the distance that got him, it's the accuracy. And that's more of a head game than a foot game, it seems like, for a good kicker. So, you know, it's hard to say. I agree. I think you should kick it from as close as you can in the NFL, but it wasn't without merit. And I don't think it necessarily was the reason that they missed the kick, you know?
It was questionable.
I don't know.
It was definitely questionable.
If you look back at that kick, it does look like if they were 5 to 7 yards closer, it squeaks through the uprights. Yeah. Instead, it inched out. I don't know. I kind of want Bruce Arians to come and explain that more. Like, did he really – like, did they know? Does Matt Gay hit more field goals from there? Is that something that he normally does? Like, they've seen it in practice? Or I think he might have screwed up and he just didn't want to say he screwed up.
Well, I mean, if you've got a good excuse, you know, use it.
Sometimes, you know, just stand up and take blame. You got to get up there and take blame. I'll tell you, one thing, if you ever have any trouble getting up, let me tell you about – our friends over at Blue Chew. If you're looking for any kind of way to increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed, then listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know it works. And the best part, you can take them anytime, day or night, on a full stomach or an empty stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as the pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. And if you could benefit from some extra function and more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fast, easy way to enhance your performance. Most guys talk a good game, but Blue Chew helps you follow through. And right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. If you visit BlueChew.com, that's BlueChew.com, and get your first shipment for free.
For free.
Just use our special promo code ARMCHAIR, and you pay. All you got to do is pay the $5 shipping. And the rest is
free. $3.99.
BlueChew.com, promo code armchair to try it for free. BlueChew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. And we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. All right. We talked a little bit about them earlier because we talked about the Chiefs, but their big win, they beat the Ravens.
Right.
What did you guys learn from the Ravens in that game? Are they, I know we didn't mention them in the tiers because we were kind of just talking undefeated teams. The Ravens, are they up there in the top 5 teams, or did you kind of learn that they weren't, maybe, Bill?
I mean, I didn't get to watch the game. I had a show open this week, so. But I will tell you that based on kind of the highlights I've seen and stuff like that, I still think that they are a good team. I think they're on that list of you gave us eight teams. I think they're in the middle of that list, even though they're not one of those eight undefeated teams.
Yeah.
So that's just my gut on them. But someone with a little bit more insight that actually watched the game might be more useful in that comment.
Well, when it comes to the AFC, I still think I think, like we said at the top, Patriots and Chiefs are the class of the AFC. But the Ravens, I think, are they're interesting. Yeah. And they could make some noise. Like, did you learn anything from that game, Pops?
Kevin, I did. And I'm going to give up a little of my thunder later. But I'm going to tell you that Baltimore is who I thought they were. They are just slightly less than the Kansas City Chiefs. They held the Kansas City Chiefs to, well, their average of 33 points a game. But they rushed. They had a total offense of 452 yards compared to 503 for Kansas City. They lost by, what was the score? It wasn't much.
33-28, I believe.
That's it. That's
so
it.
So 5-point game. I mean, mm-hmm. I think they're 5 points not as good as Kansas City.
Yep.
I think that's exactly who they are. And I think in the end,
is that right on the score?
They will be there.
Yeah, that was correct.
I think it is. I think it was a 5-point game.
I got it right here. Okay.
Well, and so I think they'll be there in the end, and they're good. They're solid.
Well, and being 5 points worse than the Chiefs looks like it makes you the third best team in the AFC. So
looks like it.
So there was a couple of things that I thought this game was going to be real interesting for Lamar Jackson because I wanted to see what he did against a team not named the Cardinals or the Dolphins.
Right.
And I thought he struggled earlier, but he did seem late. He ended up, I think, with like 300 yards passing. He ended up finding his groove late. There's a couple times, though, where I just think you saw every bit of Lamar Jackson in that game where you saw a couple times where he scrambled and he does things that I haven't seen from a quarterback since Michael Vick, where he can straight up make a defender look silly out there in open field.
Yeah.
And he did it multiple times. And then there's a couple times though on fourth down, Dad, you might remember there was one where he was scrambling around and he just threw up a prayer. It was single coverage, but the guy came back and there was two different ones. He threw one and like, I think Snead came back and got one, and the other one, Roberts, came back where he really just threw up a prayer as he was about to go down, and it was just as likely to be a pick as it would have been a catch.
It's a very ill-advised throw. Very ill-advised.
And when they work, they're great, but when they don't, we're calling them Jameis Winston Jr. because I've seen Jameis do that over and over again, and it ends up picks. So I think there's still some growing for Lamar Jackson, but I think he will grow. And I don't think they're like the Chiefs or Patriots could end up getting home foot advantage. One of them are going to be like 14-2 or something crazy. The Ravens will probably end up more along the lines of 12-4, 11-5, but I wouldn't want to play them.
They're going to be a tough out.
The defense is going to be tough, and Lamar Jackson is just dangerous.
Yeah.
I don't want to play him when it comes down to it. Speaking of, though, the AFC North, the Ravens weren't the only team to lose in that division. That entire division lost last week. But the team I want to talk about, and I think, Dad, you kind of mentioned them earlier, the Cleveland Browns.
Ugh.
I'm not ready to say Baker Mayfield is overrated and that he'll never be that guy because I like him. I'm rooting for him. I think he's fun to watch, and he's a cool personality, and I think he's good for the league. But maybe we should have seen this coming, and Baker and Freddie Kitchens, it looks like we should never bought into the hype preseason.
It does feel that way. Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, if I watched most of the Monday night game.
It looked like that became Sean McVay undressed Freddie Kitchens.
That was Sunday night. That was Sunday
night.
Sunday night. But he was under pressure immediately. And so, I mean, what hurts him
all game,
he is a three-step drop, get the ball out, he's accurate. And, I mean, he was dropping back and then dropping back again. And then they even said one time he runs out of the huddle and puts whoever's rushing him back in the play if he would have stood in the pocket. I mean, he was getting a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to say that he's not a good quarterback, but they need to get on timing routes, quick releases.
That's why I think my blame's not going to Baker as much as maybe we were all excited about Freddie Kitchens in this offense, and Freddie Kitchens knows Baker. It doesn't seem like Freddie Kitchens is getting him in the right situation. Then it's hard to defend that 4th-and-9. They went for it. It was a questionable call just to go for it. But then to run a draw play out of shotgun on 4th-and-9 when you have Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, your number one pick. It didn't work. With Kitchens, I think we should have maybe seen this coming because I was looking back. So they have 5 wins. We got all excited last year because they ended up going, 8-8 or I forget what they ended up going. But they got 5 wins under Freddie Kitchens last year. And if we go back and look, it was a 12-9 win over the Ravens, which was the pre-Lamar Jackson era. And then they had a good win over the 4-5 Falcons, I guess. 2 wins over the Bengals, who lost 7 of their final 8 in that span. And then a win over the Broncos, who, LJ, you know the Broncos weren't great down the stretch.
No.
And And then their only win this year is over the winless Jets when they lost not one, not two, but or they went down with two quarterbacks and were playing Luke Falk, who they had no intentions of playing.
Yeah.
So if you include, since Baker and Kitchens have been together, they've beat zero teams above 500. And the teams that they have beat have had a combined record of 21-31. So I just don't know. I think there's talent on the roster. I don't know if Kitchens is the guy for that.
And 100%.
It's early. It's three games into the season, but it just doesn't look like it.
Well, and the danger is that we did discuss it the first. If they don't get this figured out, OBJ could go off.
Why this is big. The leader of that locker room, there's a time right now is the most important time. If Baker Mayfield is the leader, then it's important that he's there. And I like post game, even if he disagrees with the calls. They tried to ask him about something. He goes, "I know what y'all are doing. Y'all want me to talk about the play call, and we just didn't execute." And I like it. Even if you do feel like it's Freddie Kitchens' fault,
yeah,
there's no reason to say it to the press. Say it behind closed doors, not to us. We don't need to hear it.
Well, and you guys are like dead on everything because, yeah, I agree about Freddie Kitchens, but I also agree with Dad that, I mean, this is a team in a crappy division outside of Baltimore. So, you know, if they turn it on now, they haven't lost too much. You know, they still got some season ahead of them. So,
well, the thing that's scary, though, let me pull this up for you, because their schedule coming up is not
they're playing
easy.
The 49ers next week. I know that.
Well, they go, let's see, at the Ravens next week, Dad, then at the 49ers.
Ooh. Are
then
you
the
sure?
Seahawks. Yeah, because the 49ers are on a bye. I think you were looking at the 49ers.
Oh, okay. You're okay. Yeah, yeah.
So at the Ravens, who we've just discussed is a really good team, who are coming off a loss, so they're going to be putting a win bad. At the 49ers, who are coming off a bye week, so they're going to get extra time to prepare.
And undefeated.
The Seahawks, then a bye, then they get the Patriots at Foxborough. So then they get the Broncos.
So there's that bye week. We all get two bye weeks if we play the Broncos.
But I'm just saying that they could easily, the next four games, I think if they go 500 in the next four games, that's
good for them.
Yeah. I could easily see them going less than that. And then, like we said, Dad, all of a sudden, if they're 2-5 with that locker room, we'll see.
Who knows? Yeah.
We shall see. All right. Let's go into where we always kind of do each week in the NFL season. And we did the buys, the playoffs, and who we thought they were. Dad, you kind of already gave us who we thought they were for this week, but we'll circle back to that. But who are you buying this week, Pops?
Well, I think I'm kind of going out on a limb here a little bit.
All right. LJ, this is very unlikely. Normally he buys like the Patriots right here.
No, the team is undefeated, though.
That's not necessarily bad.
I am liking the San Francisco 49ers.
All right.
And the reason I like the San Francisco 49ers is because if you look at them in total offense, you know what they're ranked?
What?
Number 4 in the whole league.
Wow.
If you look at them in total defense, you know what they're ranked?
What?
Number 2 in the whole league. Now, they have not played the belt line of their schedule by any stretch, but I'm just their schedule seems to work out decent. With Cleveland, who knows? They'd be coming off a bad win against Baltimore, could implode by the time they get to the 49ers. Yeah. Then the Rams are good. Then you got Washington, Carolina. Who knows with Carolina? I do think they'll be good.
Yeah, I don't think their schedule is just daunting.
No, I wouldn't say it's daunting. So I think I'm stepping out on a limb, LJ, and buying the San Francisco 49ers.
You want to know something funny? I think you are too, because that's who I'm buying too, and I like to buy low. So I'm buying the 49ers for the above stated reasons. We don't need to go any deeper. So
I think they're interesting. Kyle Shanahan and them are going into a bye 3-0 if you'd have told them that. And like you said, Dad, they haven't played just the toughest opponents, but they're doing what they got to do. You got to beat the bad teams and end up with a good record.
Yeah,
beat the team in front of you. That's right.
Yep.
And they're doing it by putting up some stats. So I think that's interesting. I like both of y'all's choice on that. The team that I'm buying this week is. And I don't know for sure if I'm buying them to like make the playoffs or anything, but I'm just buying the Panthers' talent.
Okay.
Because I think it's clear from last week, the Panthers just need a competent quarterback play for them to win games. And I just don't think I'm not saying Cam Newton is washed. I think you kind of alluded last week, Dad, that someone mentioned on one of the countdown shows, like possible he could be done in Carolina after this year. I don't know. I think it's interesting because he's getting paid a lot of money and he hasn't really performed that well the past 2 years. But Kyle Allen came in there, and it showed that DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel and McCaffrey, that defense isn't bad. Greg Olsen looked good. I think there's talent. They just need someone to get them the ball, and Cam hasn't been able to do that so far this year.
I'll just say, though, it's a lot easier to prepare when you got game tape on somebody, and so a lot of quarterbacks come in and have one good game. This team may struggle without Cam for – and we'll see how long they're without Cam, but it's –
Well, so they've already after seeing Kyle Allen's game, they already decided that Cam would sit out at least one more week. But I did read a report today that he's dealing with the Lisfranc injury, which
could be a long time.
It's one of those weird injuries. It could be 2 weeks. It could be 8 weeks. It's really up in the air. I just wanted to touch on Kyle Allen, who I just think is a really interesting story. So he was a five-star can't-miss quarterback back in the day. When he was in Arizona in high school, Allen threw for more than 8,000 yards and 86 touchdowns. He was the number one pro-style quarterback and seventh overall player before heading over to Kevin Sumlin's A&M, which I found interesting that A&M had the two guys playing against each other last week with Kyler Murray and Kyle Allen.
Yeah.
Both those guys were at A&M at some point and then transferred away. Kevin Sumlin sure brought in talent, but he seemed to lose just as much as he brought in. But Kyle Allen's story, in 2014, he was beat out by, if you remember, old Kenny Trill Hill. Mm-hmm. After being supposed to be this can't-miss recruit, he gets beat out by Kenny Hill. Then in 2015, Hill transfers, leaving Allen's starter. And then after a 5-0 start, he lost back-to-back games to Bama and Ole Miss. And then Kyler Murray, the five-star freshman out of Texas, came in and took his spot. So then he transferred to Houston in 2016, where he was benched again. And then after his junior year, after being benched three different times, he decided that he was just going to forego his final year and go pro, because I guess college just wasn't for him.
Sure.
Went undrafted and signed by the Patriots. And last year in the final game for the Panthers, went undrafted to the Panthers. And last year in the final game, he went 16 for 27 with 220 yards and two touchdowns and one on the ground in a win over the Saints, who, albeit there, I think they were playing their backups. They already had everything wrapped up. And then last week, like we talked about, I think he threw for 300 yards and three touchdowns. Just as a starter in the NFL, his stats are 35 for 53 and 489, six touchdowns and no interceptions.
You could argue not that's pretty bad.
Not bad. And I just think it's cool that it could have been easy for him to just let the narrative go of he was the guy who had it all in high school and clearly he just couldn't figure it out once he got to the next level. And he went undrafted and just kept plugging away. And at least it's cool to see him getting some success, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just happy for the dude. I think it's cool.
Yeah.
And if he's always been a guy with a good arm and just never could figure out, if he can figure it out there with North Turner as the OC, I just think there's some serious talent in Carolina. They just need some quarterback play.
Yeah.
You know, another quarterback that didn't have just an illustrious college career, and he's wearing number 12 for New England right now. So, it can happen. It can happen.
So I think I'm buying their talent. Let's go with that. Do you want to expand any more on the who we thought they were? Were you saying the Ravens or who we thought they were? Who did you?
No, the Ravens. Yeah, I'm saying the Ravens. They were exactly who I thought they were. I thought they'd play Kansas City pretty close. What was the line on the game? Do you call?
No clue.
Six and a half.
So they covered, right?
The only thing that confused me with the Ravens is they went in and they went for two three times in a row, and they went 0 for 3 on all those 2-point conversions, and ended up losing by 5. If they would have kicked those field goals, maybe they're within a field goal at the end of the game.
I mean,
I don't know. They must have. It's not like they have the best kicker.
I was about to say,
was something wrong with Tucker or what's?
I don't know.
Maybe. It had to be one of those things where Harbaugh or the OC saw something on tape that they thought they could get the 2-point conversions, but they went 0 for 3 on all of them.
Boy. So, boy.
That's one of those. And you know, I'd rather that happen and maybe figure out in the regular season that, hey, we shouldn't do this. So when you play the Chiefs in the playoffs, maybe you decide not to do it.
Yeah.
I'd rather screw up now in week two or week three.
Well, and they're looking at their division too, probably, and saying, I mean, if we just win as many games as we should, we're going to lock up this playoff spot. So let's see what we can do against the Chiefs. Let's get something on tape for the playoffs, like you're saying. So,
you know, I don't know if Baltimore was doing that, but I do think John Harbaugh is way more of a coach than Jim Harbaugh. I really think John Harbaugh is.
It's starting to look more and more look like that.
Yeah, Jim Harbaugh's in trouble. That whole nother story.
I almost chose the Ravens as the team I was buying this week. And it was kind of with LJ's logic where I just think a little bit to your logic, I think, LJ, if I get it right. But I feel like you try to buy before the price goes way up.
Yep.
And if you look at the Ravens coming up, they're going to go in the next three games. There are Browns at Steelers and the Bengals. That's a combined record of 1-8 between.
Yeah.
So they could easily be 5-1. And you just mentioned, LJ, 5-1, they might have that division wrapped up by week 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And their price just took a dip too, getting the loss. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think their stock's only going up at this point.
Yep.
Forward.
LJ, who are you going with who you thought they were?
I mean, you know, this is, I guess, a little bit of homerism, but the Bears defense looked like who I thought they were. I understand it was against the old R words, but finally.
At one point, I felt bad for Case Keenum.
Yeah, they finally yeah, looked like, too. For the first time this year, looked like the Bears defense I expect to see. So, yeah. That's who I thought.
Shout out to Danny Trevathan. It was good to see Danny Trevathan out there balling.
Dude, like, faked out, like, completely destroyed that O-lineman. We'll have to post that.
So, Dad, I don't know if you saw this play. There was a play that kind of started going viral, like, overnight after the game. And it was a play where Danny Trevathan, he, like, acts like he's going to blitz and then just, like, stops and stands.
Oh, I did see
up.
That. Yeah, he just stops it, yeah. for a minute.
And the offensive lineman, I guess, just thought, oh, okay, I guess he's going to stand there all this time. And then Danny Trevathan's a fast lineman. He zoomed by him and got that sack. It was a beautiful, yeah. beautiful pass rush.
Yeah. I did see that. That was. I thought that was Khalil Mack. I didn't realize
no,
that was
Trevathan.
Trevathan.
Yeah, it was a good
one. No, Khalil Mack was over there forcing fumbles every other play besides that one.
I saw he's been in like four primetime games in his career and has forced like six fumbles in those four games or something like that.
It's insane. Khalil Mack is insane. I'll tell you one guy in Washington that really enjoyed watching that game, and that was old Trent Williams, who's over there holding out. He was like, yeah, yeah. just showing y'all how important I am, which I don't think he has any desire to get back there. But
yeah,
they looked like they could not block Chicago. I still think like Mitch Trubisky had a decent first half. But I think that Bears team is what you saw last night. They're going to win because of the defense. They're yeah. not going to win because of the offense. Agreed. The offense can put up some points, but
hey,
they need
Taylor Gabriel or whatever. If he keeps doing that kind of crazy crap.
Yeah, geez. But Washington's best game was giving up 71% to Carson Wentz. So, like, this is okay. awful coverage team.
okay. Good enough. Fair point.
And it did. I bet Clinton Dix, who was on the Redskins last year, had to love – getting two picks and one of them being a pick six on Monday night in Washington. That had to be fun.
Uh-huh.
Who I'm going to go with for my who we thought they were this week, I'm going to go with Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen had 13 yeah. catches, 183 yards, and two scores. And I think my premise of this is just Keenan Allen is who I think he is, which I think he's just a really, really good receiver yeah. who, due to bad luck with injuries early in his career, is completely underrated. I don't know if it's something about playing – in Los Angeles, and you would think playing in a big market would be good, but something about the Chargers, they always play that 3 o'clock game, and it seems like they're always playing right when you're kind of trying to get that nap or trying to do something before the Sunday night football
game. Yeah.
So you kind of just miss a lot from them. And Keenan Allen, it's just what I was looking at some of the stuff. So this is from Eric Williams, who covers the Chargers for ESPN. Since the start of the 2017 season, Keenan Allen is third in the NFL in catches with 228, third in yards with just under 3,000, and has the most receiving yards on third down in the NFL during that span. So the dude is right up there putting up the same stats with the top five receivers in the league, and I don't think he normally gets thought about it in that.
Yeah.
Isn't he leading the league in reception yardage right now?
Right now he's leading the league in catches and yards. He's okay. And he's tied for second in touchdowns. So he's right up there. And the dude's just always open every time. And I was looking back at his career to see, because I've heard people all the time, and I think it turns into one of those, if you had him on your fantasy football league and he gets hurt, we do this thing where if we draft a guy and he gets hurt, then we're like, oh, that guy always gets hurt. It's because he burned us like 1 year or something. Yeah. But I was just looking back at Keenan Allen's career, and in 2013, he set Chargers rookie records for catches and yards and finished second in Offensive Rookie of the Year behind Eddie Lacy. Then, so he had a promising start to his career. And yeah. then in 2014, he broke his collarbone in week 15. In 2015, he suffered a lacerated kidney after landing on the ball yep. on a touchdown catch.
Yep.
That's a weird, freaky injury. And then in 2016, he tore his ACL in the opening game. I think it was a Monday night game against the Broncos, maybe.
That sounds right. Yeah.
And so I think at that point, everyone's like, man, I don't know what's wrong with him. He always gets hurt. But then ever since then, as I said before, since 2017 season, I think he's been out to prove, like, hey, I'm one of the top guys out there. And Philip Rivers said after the game that he said there's only a handful of guys in this league that you cannot guard with one person, and Keenan Allen is there. He's
one of them. Yeah.
He outplayed DeAndre Hopkins
yeah.
last week.
Yeah, I agree.
Wow. That's saying something.
Yeah.
Moving on to the crossing off teams off the playoffs. LJ, do you have two for us this
week?
We're out last week, or
give me a yeah, sure, I'll give you two.
I mean, I got an easy one if you need some time.
I'll take two.
Okay.
Okay, so this one hurts, but I'm going to go ahead and get it out of the way. The Broncos are not making the playoffs.
That does hurt, doesn't it?
Yeah, they're just not going to. I do think that they're going to, like you guys are saying about the Giants, put together something. If the trenches can get together, if the O-line and the D-line can start playing some football, They're 0 for sacks and 0 for defensive turnovers, which is not the Broncos under Vic Fangio that I expected. But
can I read some stats to you, LJ? You're kind of alluding to it.
Let's.
So the Broncos are just the 8th team since the 1970 merger to not have a sack through 3 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
And they're just the first since 2007 to do it. And then this one's weird, though. Okay. With defensive mastermind Vic Fangio as the head coach, this was tweeted out by Ed Water. And one of the most accomplished pass rushers in NFL history, Von Miller's are 0-3, and the Broncos are the only team in the past 50 years to have no sacks and no takeaways in the first three games.
Yeah.
I kind of agree with the LJ. That stat does say a lot about him, but I think that's more of like almost fluky. That defense is not bad.
I do think what I truly think is that's going to turn around. They're getting used to a new scheme that's completely different than what they played before. They've got some secondary problems, so quarterbacks can get it out a little quicker than they used to against the Broncos with, love him or hate him, Aqib Talib covered a man, so there's no doubt about that. And so they're having to relearn a little bit of their scheme and stuff like that. And so if they can get that figured out, they'll be a little scarier on defense and could potentially still be really scary, but we'll see. I mean, I'm not sure. Their offense, though, they've got so many O-line problems. We don't even
know if Joe Flacco's still a quarterback. As long as Joe Flacco's still a quarterback.
We don't even know if Joe Flacco's good yet. We won't find out this year. Because
did you see the later interception he threw where it looked like he threw it to a Packers player? Like,
I did see that.
Bronco even near him.
And it came out of his hand sideways, and there was nobody near him. I understand that was a bad play.
Are you a Joe Flacco apologist?
No, I just don't. I want to see him. I want to see him play a game where he gets some coverage. No, I have not. I've.
Were you watching last year?
Well, no, I didn't watch him play last year. I did not watch him play at all last year. But I'm just saying,
I just don't think Joe Flacco's any good.
That offensive line is garbage. And they've got their O-line coach was who they considered for a head coach. So hopefully he can figure out a way to turn it around. But that O-line doesn't give him anything. If they can figure that out, then Philip Lindsay's going to help him out a lot, even if Joe Flacco's garbage. So
that touchdown run Philip Lindsay had was awesome.
Dude's an animal.
Lindsay's a beast, man. Yeah, he is. He's a hell of a player. You got to like him.
They're one of those teams in week 15, 16 might knock somebody out of the playoffs, but they're not going to make it themselves. And let's see.
I just wanted to mention, to your credit, LJ, I think multiple people crossed them off their playoffs last week on the pod. But I do think you're onto something with them winning some games they shouldn't late, because it's not like they're getting, even as bad as that offense has played, they're not like the Dolphins getting beat 40-0 or 30-6. These are like 21-14.
They should have beat the Bears. 17-10 games. I mean, they actually should have beat the Bears.
They're in these games. Yeah. So I think if they maybe figure something out, I love their running backs, and I do think the defense figures something.
Yeah, Royce Freeman looked great this week.
Who's the other team?
The Browns.
Oh.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
No. I just don't think the Browns pull it together to make it into the playoffs. I don't think they can.
Man, I'm not crossing off Baker Mayfield off the playoffs yet. There's still a lot of talent if they figure anything out.
They got talent, but they don't have a team, is the way I see it. So.
I'm hesitant. You were quick, and then again, I thought you were quick to jump on the Steelers, and that's looking beautiful right now. So,
He bought high or bought low.
Well, and I will say that kind of was like a lucky unlucky. I hate to see somebody get hurt, but the one player on their team that has been the staple of their team for what, 10 years now, getting knocked out of the rest of the season. It looks like. I mean that.
Talking about Antonio Brown? Who
no,
you talking
I'm talking about,
about
Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's a good quarterback, but like he's going to be what they've depended on for the last 10 years. So it's going to be hard to win many games without him just because they're rewriting
the playbook. Can I lay out a possible scenario I could see happening?
Please.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I don't want you to have bad dreams tonight. Dad needs to hear. I don't know if he knows where I'm going yet. I think you're starting to get where I'm going. But so I don't think Joe Flacco's the answer. I bet there's probably something in his contract where if they cut him by a certain time, they can get out of it. We know that John Elway historically loves getting a veteran quarterback towards the end of his career that maybe
with
is
big arms, big man. He's like, what, six something?
And maybe he can bring him in. What if? Big Ben to the Broncos?
No.
Oh my God! It would be my favorite thing ever.
No,
it would be my favorite thing ever. I would buy you a Ben Roethlisberger jersey if he ends up on the Broncos.
A Denver Bronco Ben Roethlisberger jersey. Oh my God, that would be fantastic.
For all the listeners out there, LJ is sulking now. Just at the possibility, like, even though I don't think he thinks it'll happen, just the scenario just even being played out.
I feel ill.
Oh, I just, you know.
I don't think it's that far-fetched. Just throwing that out there.
I don't think I can get through the podcast. I don't think I can get through the show.
Yeah, get him out of his misery, Kevin. Let's move
Get him a drink. Pops, who are you going with for who you're crossing off the playoffs? It might be the same as mine. I don't know.
Well, you know, because I like to cross off people that are just absolutely not going to make the playoffs, and I'm not worried about buying high or buying low. The Washington Redskins are not going to make the playoffs. They're just not. They're terrible. They're terrible.
I will give them a little credit, at least, like, so I think after halftime it was 28-0 or something. They did at least come out and, like, show some effort and didn't just completely
until
down,
he threw an interception. I mean, then he threw that interception and they laid down, looked like to me.
I think they don't make the playoffs, and I wouldn't be surprised if Jay Gruden's gone within 3 to 5 weeks. I just think they're bad.
Wouldn't shock me.
I wanted to go before we get out of here, and we've kind of touched on this.
Who's your no playoffs team?
Oh, same. I'm going with them too.
Washington. Okay.
I kind of had a feeling from some of the stuff you said earlier this week, and then just the fact, or earlier this episode, and then the fact that if you watched it all last night, I thought they might be your team you're crossing off, and I already knew I had them. So
yeah,
yep.
I kind of wanted to get on. We've done this a couple times the past couple weeks, and just the good, bad, and uglies. Just if you had anything from the previous week that was interesting to you,
I got an ugly.
I want to throw out a good, and then I'll get to your ugly, LJ. All right. So my good is going to be. Did you guys see it's kind of made the rounds, and you might have seen it by now. The guy in Philadelphia.
Yes, that is a good for me too.
We've long are good. Okay, let's get it. Me and you can both have this good because it's a good one. Yeah. It's so funny. So we've long heard that Philadelphia sports fans can be a little crazy. I mean, hell, they threw snowballs at Santa back in the day, like back in 68 or whatever. Yeah. But so this guy, Dad, after Sunday's loss, where Aguilar had, if you remember, Nelson Aguilar had a few drops, but he also had 2 touchdowns in the game. But he had a few drops for the second week in a row. And this guy, he was on a local news station. Apparently, he was a former firefighter, and he was walking down the street, and he saw this apartment on fire. He saw flames coming out of the second floor. So he walked over, and he heard it was him and a former coworker, who was also a former firefighter. And they realized that they went up to the second floor, and this guy was yelling out, I have kids up here. So he said his former coworker went up there and started throwing babies out of the window, and he was catching them. And so, like, they're asking him in this little interview, he's like, so he started throwing the babies out, and I was catching them, unlike Aguilar, and just threw that burn in there. And it's like, you're sitting here, like, you just went through this thing where you were saving little kids through a fire, and he's still thinking about how upset he is at Nelson Aguilar.
Can I throw out even better? So the good to even better. You're about to go there, I think, aren't you?
Well, so no, go. Finish it off, because I think we both have this as a good. So how does this end up being the good?
So then Nelson Aguilar hears about this, obviously, because who's not going to tell Nelson Aguilar he just got punked? And then he reaches out to the dude. He's trying to get this dude his special guest ticket to the next Eagles game, which is like, that's such a cool move to somebody that just calls you out on
class.
TV. Like,
yeah.
It would be so easy to get upset and be like, dude, I had 2 touchdowns. Like, even like almost bite back and like talk crap. And instead he was just like, Twitter helped me find this guy. I want to get him and his family tickets to the next home game. Like, yeah. It was just a really cool move by Aguilar.
Yeah.
So that'll be my good of the week. And actually, I wouldn't be shocked. LJ, you're ugly for this week. It could be similar to mine. I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, I actually I just thought of a bad too, but do you want my ugly first?
Go with bad. Let's go with your bad.
All right. My bad is I just realized how old I was today. Because I saw on Reddit that it has been 19 years since Terrell Owens posed in both stars after both of his touchdowns in Dallas. Mm. God, I feel old. 19 years ago that happened? Jesus. Wow. So that's my bad.
Funny. So your bad is just you feel old
right
now?
That's a personal bad, yeah.
Dad, I didn't mean to skip over. Did you have a good you wanted to mention?
I do. I kind of have a good and a bad that go together, and I do actually have an ugly too. But my good and bad.
Save your ugly.
I'll save my ugly. My good and bad are kind of together. You know, there's been a lot of offensive holding in games so far. I think an average of about 6 penalties a game for offensive holding. Apparently, there was some directive to emphasize off, you know, the weak side holding.
Okay.
Calls. And so they did. They were calling 6 a game. And Tom Brady saw this on Thursday night and tweeted out, like, good God, would you please let the guys play football? I'm turning this S, I don't know if he said shit off, but anyway, he said, I'm turning this off. And then they had a meeting. The referees had a meeting on Saturday. They decided to de-emphasize the offensive holding on the backside. And they only, on Sunday, they averaged 3 penalties for offensive holding.
Wait a second.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the bad is, my God, let the guys play. The good is, Tom Brady noticed it. I mean, he is a legend in the game. They listened to him.
Oh, my God.
They reduced.
Wait,
that pisses me off so much.
Yeah, can I take a second? So, LJ, and I think this might be where LJ is going. So, Tom Brady, of all people, is going to complain about the offensive holdings, who we already know he's the reason for the penalties of where quarterback gets touched.
Yeah.
And then if we think back just a week, there was literally last week, who did they play? They played the Dolphins. The Dolphins player said that a ref literally came up to him and said, "Hey, stay off Tom. You can't hit Tom like that." Right. So the guy that gets protected by refs is going to go complain about holding. And, who would it benefit if his offensive line can hold just a little bit more and not get called for? Tom Brady. This guy has a pulse on the league. He knows exactly what he's doing. He wants his O-line to hold a little bit more.
He's smart like a fox, dude.
And if I needed any other reason to hate him, he makes one tweet and the NFL changes their bylaws. Like, Jesus
Christ.
They
change their emphasis.
Jesus.
Oh, my goodness. I just was like, really? Tom Brady has that much pull that he can just get the whole. And if that, literally, like Dad said, he tweeted that. They had a meeting two days later
to talk about Tom Brady's tweet. So they could make sure before Brady's next game that they didn't call too many holding penalties.
They don't call offensive holdings as much. It's brilliant.
ESPN legitimately had a report, LJ, that was like, there was a call made to all refs
to
emphasize that you don't have to call holding on every single play. Oh, well, if Tom says it, then by God.
Jesus.
Oh.
Well, they did get pissed when he filled some footballs up a little.
My bad. Sticking with quarterbacks, my bad. What, I don't even know if it's a bad, because it's kind of funny and I want him to keep doing it, but it's Troy Aikman complaining on Twitter. Did you guys
see? No, I love that.
The Athletic Kansas City. Yes. The Athletic tweeted out, in case you missed it, Patrick Mahomes has thrown 36% of Troy Aikman's career touchdowns in about 8% of the games. And Troy Aikman dad replied to it with, in case you missed it, he quoted this and said, in case you missed it, talk to me when he has 33% of my Super Bowl titles. So just Troy Aikman's saltiness on Twitter. Already got the titles. And I think it's funny. So maybe if he's doing it just tongue in cheek to be funny, then I'm all for it. But I just thought that was hilarious that he had to get on there and be like, hey, let's just make sure you know I won 3 rings.
These guys have egos. These are alpha males with egos. Yes, there's no doubt about it.
It's funny. Pops, what about you? Let's go LJ, since you did your good and bad there just a second ago, Pops. Ugly for the week, yo?
My ugly was, did you guys see the entire Eagles offensive line just stop blocking? You didn't see this. All right.
Let me send you guys a video.
I'm going to send you guys a video in Skype. This is not an exaggeration. We'll put it on the website too. But watch this.
Well, I did see there was a play where the Eagles did not employ a defensive end for a play, and they ran a reverse around on the outside. I don't know how someone in the booth doesn't realize, like, hey, we're missing a guy. We should probably call a timeout.
No, this is a play where Wentz drops back and the Eagles offensive line just stops. They just decide they don't want to play anymore.
Do they think he's... Yeah, they all just quit.
They were done.
Now, I know no one cares about my fantasy team, but Wentz is already injury prone enough. Can we at least block for him until the play's over?
No, apparently not. So that's my ugly, is they just stopped playing.
What the heck?
Yeah, I've never seen an O-line do that.
Do you think they thought he already threw it or something?
They almost had to have. But like
the
defensive line was not acting like he threw the ball. So it's like, what gave him the indication that he threw the ball? Like, I can't understand what mishap happened that I think 5 of the 6 people trying to block for him just stopped, just all stood up straight and stopped blocking.
I wonder if, like, in the huddle, Carson Wentz, like, said something to him, one of them. They're like, all right, we're just going to teach you there, buddy.
Maybe.
How about this? But yeah, in general, if you're on the offensive line, I don't know if anybody on the Eagles offensive line is listening to this, but if you are on the O-line and for whatever reason during the play you think, oh, I think my quarterback may have thrown the ball, if you still see the the pass rush sprinting after someone behind you, it's probably because he has an oblong thing in his hand.
Yeah.
He's still holding on to it. So I think you should probably keep blocking.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there. Pops, what do you have for your ugly this week? That's a good one, Al.
So my coach with the favorite personality, I don't know if you saw this, but what's the lady's name? Dana Jacobson was interviewing Bill Belichick.
Oh, God. Right?
Yep. And she asked him a question that I certainly am interested to know, which is, what was the last straw that made you decide to
cut? Not a bad question.
Antonio Brown. Fair question. And he goes, we're thinking about who are they playing Bills. Next? The Buffalo Bills. We're thinking about, and then stares her down for like 60, well, not 60 seconds. I mean, like,
no, but did, it was like a minute, it was
like a second and a half or something. But he really stares her down like, I'm going to whoop your ass like, or something.
How it's dare you ask that question?
Stupid. It was, I'm sorry. Belichick is the best coach of all time. He is a dick. And he doesn't care. He couldn't care less that we think that.
I would say that there's a sure decent chance that there is a correlation between those two things, though. You know? The fact that he's not having that conversation might have a little bit to do with how good he is as a coach.
He could have handled it a little better. Just said, hey, we're ready for the Buffalo Bills and walked away. He didn't have to give her the stare down.
Like, well, I understand it probably is annoying getting all the Antonio Brown questions, but if you're going to employ you're going to employ a guy like that, stand up. I mean, and I think they made the right call. They cut him after all the stuff that came out. I think, you know, you tried it, it didn't work, and you realize, oh crap, we should not have done this. And they cut him. Okay, but stand up for it. Answer your question. What was the last? And even if you don't want to answer it, be polite about it. You don't have to be an asshole about it.
I think
she's doing her job. That was
doing her job. He was being an asshole.
Just to defend somebody that I really don't care that much for, I'll play devil's advocate, that we've kind of talked for a couple of years now about how the power struggle in the Patriots locker room seems like it might be. And so there is a chance that Belichick didn't ask for Antonio Brown in the first place. So maybe that's why he's so adamant on dodging questions, is that was a Kraft pickup, not a Belichick pickup.
Well, I've heard
it's a possibility.
I've heard alternate reporting, LJ, that actually Belichick was the guy that he's good friends with Rosenhaus, the agent. I believe that was
Brown. Yeah, that's
I thought
that's
it was Tom Brady was the connection.
I heard that Belichick reached out specifically
to
try to get Antonio Brown.
All right. Well, all right.
So, but either way, I just think, like, to Dad's point, I think the Dana Jacobson, who actually, shout out to Dana Jacobson, she was back, LJ, you might remember, she was on the Cold Pizza days way back.
Oh, yeah.
Gap. But she was just asking a legitimate question. If you don't want to answer it, okay, but you don't have to be an asshole about it. Like, what does dad's shirt say? What does your shirt say?
Don't be a dick. Yeah. Just don't be a dick. And he was a dick.
Trademark.
Copyright.
It's verbal trademark.
My ugly for the week, and I think that was a good one, but my ugly for the week is going to be, the refs always find a way to get in this category.
Yeah.
And yes, they call it less holding, but I'm going to go where they're penalizing the injured. Okay. So I understand there's a rule in the NFL where player cannot take his helmet off on the field of play. And if you take your helmet off on the field of play, that's unsportsmanlike conduct, 15-yard penalty.
Right.
But on Sunday, Atlanta and Indianapolis game, Falcon safety Keanu Neal, who's a really good player, suffered a season-ending injury for the second straight year. Last year, he tore his ACL in week one, and this year, his Achilles was torn. Like, he clearly knows it. His face, like, he's like got tears in his eyes because he knows he just screwed up another year, and he's a good young player. And he takes his helmet off because his Achilles is literally hanging there on the field. Ugh. And the ref throws a flag. And then I understand, you know, maybe you don't realize it and you saw him take his helmet off and you throw the flag. Can we not pick that up for an injury? I mean, I don't know. The rule's the rule, but penalizing a guy because he took his helmet off because he has a second straight season-ending injury.
Yeah.
That's tough. I just didn't like it. I didn't like to see it.
That's fair.
I think that about wraps up our NFL. Did y'all guys have anything else y'all wanted to mention?
Is Jacoby Brissett and the Colts for real?
Yeah. I mean, that's who I bought last. I think me and Uncle Tony and Prestige Worldwide were all talking. The Colts are the real deal.
Yeah.
They have a big game coming up again, I think, this week.
You know, one other quick thing. So I thought it was interesting how much one big play can mean in a game.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Detroit and Philly played, and there was a 100-yard kick return by Detroit. Philly lost by three.
Yeah.
They lost by three. That was the play that turned it around.
Yep.
New Orleans is playing Seattle, which I think we all thought Seattle probably would win that game. There's a 58-yard punt return in that game. Seattle lost by six.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, a big play like that is absolutely a game changer in the
speaking NFL. Of big, you know, plays and that's the Saints, interesting. It was good to see Alvin Kamara finally get off last week.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Speaking of special teams making the difference, I think you guys should watch this video. I know I've talked about John Boyce of SB Nation's YouTube videos a lot. He just had one come out about how I can't remember which year it was, but one of the Chargers teams was clearly the best in the NFL by every metric you could count besides special teams. And they missed the playoffs. And so they might have been potentially one of the greatest teams to play in the Super Bowl era, but missed the playoffs because they're special teams. And They go into showing the games that they lost and how much they lost by, and also what they gave up on special teams that game. And it's incredible, the correlation. So, yeah, special teams makes a huge difference.
Well, yeah, and I know coaches, like especially special teams coaches, you'll hear it, like if you ever watch one of those Hard Knocks or anything, but special teams is a third of the game, they'll say, and it's just as important. I don't know if it's just as important as offense and defense, but I think you're alluding to it exactly, both of you, but special teams can definitely lose you
Change the game
in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, or winning a game. Depending on, yes, sir. And you know what? Yes, sir. You know what team usually has good special teams? Not counting last week when they muffed a punt, but the New England Patriots, Bill Belichick, they seem to normally have pretty solid special teams play. I think the good teams normally do, and one of those kind of gets overlooked, but I think y'all are dead on.
These teams are close. They're close. It doesn't take much to separate them.
We're talking about a 10% difference in the best and the worst team in the NFL. So special teams is worth 10%.
Dad, since Uncle Tone's mentioned before we get out of here, I know you're through and through a Hog fan.
God.
After last week, are you done with the Hogs for the year, or Chad Morris, or do you have any comment as an alum with a mic in front of you?
You know, what's interesting is I sure have seen a lot of people wanting to forgive Bobby Petrino.
Yeah, I bet they do.
They're wanting BMFP bad. I don't know. I don't have a comment to that. I do like Chad. Hey, guys, we are rebuilding at Arkansas. We are playing in the best conference in the nation.
Rebuilding, what, going on year 12?
Tennessee's getting well. But we do have a new coach. I mean, Bielema wasn't the guy, apparently. He's only good enough to be employed by the greatest coach ever, Bill Belichick, but not good enough to coach our college football team. So I don't know. The jury is out. Losing to San Jose State
like that is tough.
It's not good.
Yeah.
It's not good.
I've been one of the fans that like hold out on Chad Morris. Say just give, because I'm usually a big proponent of give the guy time. You know, especially in college when it's recruiting and stuff, and you got to get your kind of players in. I think you got to give him 3 to 4 years before you even have an idea.
Yep.
But it's tough when you lose to a team like we paid San Jose State $1.5 million, I believe it was, to come to the university and whoop our ass. And San Jose State's a team that they just last week got pummeled by Tulsa, and I think they've only beaten like 3 Power 5 conferences in the last 5 years. So this doesn't happen, and they just came into Fayetteville and took it to them. That's a bad loss.
Can we move on? I'm getting physically ill over here.
So while we held us on Ben Roethlisberger for a while, I want to hold on this for just a second longer. But I do think – I want to point out that I think Razorback fans are maybe the most mercurial fans in the world, because last week it was like, oh, I'm so glad that we finally have a quarterback at Starkansas. Like, it's like – everything is either all the way up or all the way down.
A little bit. I kind of joke with a little bit, but I do totally get what you're saying.
I'm not saying you're the only one. I mean, I've seen this everywhere. Like, I've seen so many articles that popped up on my phone that the Razorbacks are back and they're finally here and blah, blah, blah. And then they lose to San Jose State. And it's like, the Razorbacks are the worst Razorbacks that have ever, like, it's just Arkansas sports radio is just a thing.
Speaking of, but before we get out of here, I did want to mention, you brought up Starkansas, Nick Starkle. Did you see the drama going on with him and Justin Bieber?
No.
What was that?
So Starkle's a huge Justin Bieber fan, like big time Bieber fan. Like a couple years ago, he tried to make this video, this like parody video, and tagged Ellen DeGeneres and was like, "Help me for my birthday, meet Justin Bieber, my idol," and all this stuff. And then like this year, pre-game, he's been wearing this, like, it's kind of a cool looking, but it's like this black shirt with Justin Bieber's face on it. And he wears it pre-game, and then he wears it under his pads. But it's kind of him being interesting, being funny. But then after this past week, after he had a 5-interception game, he tweeted out, "All right, guys, the Justin Bieber shirt's been ripped. It's been thrown away. No more distractions. We're all about the team." And then TMZ, and then Justin Bieber saw the tweet and then put it on his Instagram story. It was like, "I'm disappointed." So he did finally get his idol to reach out to him, but it's out of disappointment.
Oh, God.
But my funniest part about it was TMZ caught on hold of this, and they put out like this big article. I never knew TMZ would ever have an article about the Arkansas Razorbacks. Maybe with Bobby Petrino. But since Bobby Petrino, I never thought we'd have another one. But they had this big article where they were talking about how Arkansas's quarterback blames Justin Bieber for loss. And at one point, there was a sentence in there where they said, "Nick Starkle, who's the starting quarterback for the former powerhouse football program, the Arkansas Razorbacks." I'm an Arkansas Razorback fan, but I don't think whoever wrote that TMZ article, like, they made it sound like we were Alabama. We're just a dynasty, I don't think.
Guess going back to 64. Good Lord.
Wow. I just thought it was whoever wrote that sentence. I was like, I don't think you spend a lot of time in the South. You could say like a good SEC program, former solid SEC program. I just wouldn't say former college football powerhouse. I don't know.
Yeah,
that.
No, that's.
And
yeah,
this is coming from an Arkansas fan.
I could say former college football team, but
team. That would have been a better use of term.
All right, Dad. Well, I know LJ is still upset about Ben Roethlisberger. I know you want to quit talking about those darn Razorbacks. So we'll wrap it up. We want to give one more special shout out to the sponsors. You can, by the way, if you're wanting to gamble on any games, but I was talking to Dad, you know, your boy Keith, we were talking today at work. Basically, you could have made a lot of money so far this college football season if you just went and looked at the Arkansas line and bet the opposite, because they're not going to cover against the bad teams, and they probably will get blown out by the good teams. So if you're looking to go gamble, go do it over at MyBookie. If you put in the promo code CHAIR, you can get double down on your first deposit. Promo code CHAIR over at MyBookie. Then, if you are an Arkansas, well, I don't even know how I can segue to it, but if you go on to BlueChew.com right now and put in the promo code ARMCHAIR, you can get a free order of Blue Chew. So if you're looking for a little extra oomph, maybe Chad Morris is doing that, I don't know right now, you can go over to BlueChew.com, put in the promo code ARMCHAIR. You just pay the $5 shipping and get the first delivery for free. So we missed it last week, but I hear we got a good one in the hopper, LJ. What's your social science term for this week?
Do you guys want to take a guess at it if I give it to you?
Yeah, of course.
Well, yeah, right. I got the other one right.
So. God. Okay, well, so I thought this
he did get the cheerleader one right, LJ, right?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
In no way did he get that right.
Okay, what do we got for this week?
This one is called survivorship bias. Who wants to give it a shot?
Survivorship bias?
Yeah.
Survivorship's kind of like...
I feel like that would be guilt for surviving a traumatic event or something, but I don't know about bias.
I thought it was like getting a will or something. You're the survivorship of a business or a family or something. I don't know.
All right.
I don't know.
Well, you guys got it just as well as you got the cheerleader effect. So nailed it. But I'll walk
it's you playing football and diving into your surviving family. Just going off right. the field.
I'll walk you through it. Okay. So survivorship bias is when you have a bias in your decision-making based upon only looking at the ones that were successful, only the things that were successful, and therefore not realizing the things that failed. There's a really great example of this guy during World War II. He was a mathematician named Abraham Wald. And what he did was he was tasked with part of a team in the military to figure out how to put steel plating on aircraft bombers to figure out how to make them survive for longer, right? And so they had some bombers that had made it back home and had a bunch of bullet holes. And so they wanted to put the steel plates where planes had the most bullet holes, right? Seems logical. Seems like a decent idea. But what Abraham Wald said is, well, here's a bias that you guys have. You're looking at only the planes that made it home. Therefore, if the plane didn't make it home, or if the plane made it home, then those parts aren't as important to put the steel plating on. Whereas the ones that didn't make it home, those holes, we don't know where they are, but we can only assume they're in the places that these guys didn't get shot at. So that's survivorship bias.
Okay, there's some sense in that.
Yeah, there's another decent example if you want a little bit further to understand it.
Well, can I think I might have an example. Tell me if I'm
okay, go for it.
Tell me if I'm smelling what you're stepping in here.
All right.
So would it be like looking at going, well, you know, Steve Jobs and Bill Gates both dropped out of college and they were super successful.
Yeah.
But then you're not looking at like the tons of other people that dropped out. And
so if you say the trick to success is dropping out of college, that's survivorship bias because you're only looking at the ones that were successful and not looking at the, who knows, millions of people who dropped out of college and didn't find any success. That's a great example. Another one I like is like for people that say like, man, music in 1969 is the best music ever, and today's music doesn't hold a candle to it. That is usually a flaw of survivorship bias because you're only thinking of the songs that we still listen to 50 years later. So
you're not thinking of all the flops that
you're not thinking of. I started a joke by the Bee Gees. You know, you're thinking of Beatles or something like that. So
God, what was that song about blue? Remember that song? I'm blue. I'm blue. I'm blue. Whatever.
Dad used to hate that song.
God.
But so that's the thing.
I'm blue.
You're comparing the best songs from whatever year you're talking about to the worst songs of today. And so that's a form of survivorship bias, is you're only thinking of the ones that made it this far. Or another one is they don't make things the way that they used to. You know, when you like talk about like, they don't make toasters the way that they used to. Well, yeah, because you're thinking of that one toaster that lasted for 50 years. But if you looked at every toaster that had ever been made, most of them are probably garbage because they're cheap appliances. So survivorship bias, it's everywhere.
Yeah, it's just like in sports too. Like when you go like, oh, the NBA was better in the 90s. And whether it's true or not, you go, you're probably only thinking about the teams you remember in the playoffs. Yeah. You're probably not thinking about that Phoenix Suns team of like today's game that went terrible, you know? Because you usually don't, as we've talked about with memory before, you don't stick those ones in your memory bank. Like, you don't think about all the shitty teams.
Exactly. That's survivorship bias. Boom. Social science. Done.
I like that one.
Social science corner. But damn.
All right. That'll do it for another week of the Just Press Play podcast. Of course, you can catch us on Facebook, Twitter, and our website at jppod.com. Guys, I will catch you next week. Peace out.
Peace.
Was Dad thrown off my other clap, or are we good?
I think that very astutely I got back on.
Okay. Well,
I thought on my feet.
You are an astute, astute young man.
Not pedantic.
Not pedantic.